W Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A senior Biden administration official telling ABC News there is a very good chance Syria could fall very soon. The front line is collapsing. That official saying it could be as soon as tomorrow as rebels approach the capital, Damascus.
The question is, what happens next? We know that the Middle East is in turmoil right now. So if Bashar al-Assad falls, what happens next? And I think a lot of people will want to know the answer to that.
ABC's Lama Hassan in London. President-elect Donald Trump has weighed in, suggesting the United States should not get involved with the situation in Syria. In Paris, a heavenly choir filling the newly rebuilt Notre Dame Cathedral with music. A ceremony marking the cathedral's restoration, attended by dignitaries from around the world, including Mr. Trump and First Lady Jill Biden. The FBI joining the nationwide manhunt for the suspect behind the assassination of the UnitedHealthcare CEO. This is ABC News. Health officials are urging consumers to stop drinking raw milk after bird flu was found in some products. Now the Department of Agriculture plans to test raw milk samples nationwide. ABC's Steve Osunsami is in Atlanta, the home of the CDC, with the latest.
So far, about 60 people have gotten sick from bird flu, but almost all of the cases have been farm workers handling sick livestock. Officials say they don't know of any person who has spread it to another human. What authorities are concerned about is the potential for the disease to spread to consumers who drink raw, unpasteurized milk. In the last few weeks, farms in California have shut down and started recalling some of their raw milk and cream products after farm officials found the bird flu virus in samples of their products.
California's Public Utilities Commission has approved a new rule that for hire drivers who transport unaccompanied minors, they'll have to pass fingerprint-based background checks in addition to other security checks that their company might mandate. It impacts Uber programs designed to transport teenagers around. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As Democrats pick up the pieces from their loss to Donald Trump, one of the first major decisions the party will be making is to select the new chair of the Democratic National Committee. The race for that role now has a major Wisconsin connection. Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, is now officially running for DNC chair. One Democratic source I talked to characterized Wickler as a Goldilocks candidate for the role. He's liked by both centrists and progressives, big-dollar donors and grassroots organizers, and knows how important state parties around the country can be in a second Trump term. So, could he be just right for the role? The vote for DNC chair is scheduled for February 1st. A lot can happen between now and then. But whether or not Wickler wins in his bid for the role, it will certainly be a story to watch for Democratic politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Nearly one in five Wisconsin newspapers shut down in the last year. It paints a grim picture for the future of local news provided by journalists who live in the communities they serve. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
This year alone, 130 newspapers nationwide shut down, according to a report by the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern University. But amid an increasing climate of misinformation and media distrust among some Americans, the news outlets they say they trust the most are community newspapers. Professor Robert Aisen at the University of Wisconsin at Madison says in this polarized climate, where people choose to get their news matters.
It seems less and less that we're willing or able to see things that we may share in common. And that's exacerbated by a media ecosystem where we're not even getting the same information, where we're not even sharing the same basic set of facts.
A recent review of radio talk shows in Wisconsin found those with the largest audiences and the most advertising are led by conservative hosts who air the most misinformation. Aisen says leadership is a major influence in this trend.
When you look at public discourse and you look at public figures and you see examples of a disregard for truth or disregard for verifying stories or a disregard for fair and kind of accurate representations, I think that those practices encourage more of the same practice.
Wisconsin Democrats proposed a package of bills earlier this year aimed at strengthening local journalism and its workforce. One bill would offer a tax credit for local newspaper subscriptions, but it didn't pass in the state Senate.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy, breezy, a high near 39. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low near 30. Partly sunny for Sunday with a high near 39. For Monday, a few sprinkles with a high near 42. 31, the high on Tuesday with flurries. Wednesday's high, 22.
Currently, 42 degrees.
Dom Selvia.
Jess P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, catch Dom and Jess back in the studio to chop up the news with our favorite FDR Democrat or socialist. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh my gosh, we're back, baby. It's Mark Becker. We've got the Rational Revolution. Holy cow. I hope you guys had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We had a best of last week, and I'm so excited to be back here behind this mic, flapping my gums, talking about some awesome stuff. So it's so good to be back in the studio, and I really have a great show for you, because we have our dear friend, our old friend, the former host of the show, your friend and mine, Chris. Wait, excuse me.
What?
State Senator-elect.
It is.
Chris Alfheim. Oh, my God.
Ah!
You won.
We did win.
Yes.
I know.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
I am so, so happy for
Thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I'm happy for Wisconsin.
I'm happy.
That's a big deal.
I'm happy, too. I mean, we don't obviously do a whole lot of celebrating. You know, there's a lot going on. But it is a big deal.
We can celebrate that.
It's a big deal.
That's allowed.
You know, there's a lot of effort that goes on. And the efforts of those who came before me for decades.
Yeah.
The efforts of getting the maps. There's so many people to thank and to be celebratory about. So again, it's a little bit of a strange transition, but I am so excited. I mean, you know that I did not get into this for any other reason than to try and bring some rational thought forward.
Yeah.
And I am who I am, and I've run on that, and I am that person going forward. And I'm very, very excited for the reception of that, of me, the reception of my philosophy and moving things forward for Wisconsin. And I'm humble. I'm humble and very, very proud to be doing it.
It's got to be a big weight. You know?
Yeah. I mean, again, it's weird, right? I mean, when you don't grow up thinking you're going to go into politics.
No.
You don't grow up into that.
No.
And, but I look back at, you know, what got me here. And I remember, you know, I remember being a kid and going to Madison. I remember walking into the Capitol as a kid on that tour. I remember going to D.C. for the first time as an 11-year-old after winning the Safety Patrol Award. You know, a rural,
These
rural
guys are awesome.
I know, rural Wisconsin girl, and I was astounded. I was just in awe of everything about it. We sat in the chamber as it was going on, and those things impacted me. And then, as you know, as an adult, getting into advocacy and sitting in a coffee shop outside the Capitol in Madison, I still love the energy of that. I love the fact that there are protesters and there are college kids and there are grade school kids and there are business people, and they are all working and talking about what's important to them.
People who care.
Yeah. And it doesn't it's not about agreeing with all of them. It's about the fact that this exists, the ability exists, and it's important. And now I get to be part of it. My name's on the wall. And that's cool.
Is cool.
It's cool. My 98-year-old grandmother is going to be coming to the inauguration.
She is.
She is.
Oh, you've talked about her.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I love my grandma.
Yes.
I love my grandma. She's hopefully making it. Obviously, she's a little bit weather dependent. She's down in Indianapolis right now. But fingers crossed she's going to make it. Mom and dad will be there. The family will be there. And some important friends. And so it is a big deal. I'm so wonderfully, wonderfully excited to be representing the Fox Valley. I truly am.
What a cool thing. Hmm? You know? How was Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving, all of this is a blur right now. I Thanksgiving was great. We actually went over to the Wausau area, spent time with my sister and her entire family and all the little ones running around, and then spent the night at my mom and dad's house, watched the Packer game, you know, ate pie more than once.
Yes. You sent me a video. You were glamping. I have to show you.
Oh, that's a different one. Yes, yes.
Yes, and it was, whatever it was, this was blurry, just like that.
Yeah.
So I was like, I have no idea what you're, it looks wonderful.
It was wonderful, yes. Someone had given us, I'm not sure where it came from. It might have been Carrie Ann for her 50th birthday, but a beautiful bottle of champagne.
That's okay.
And we enjoyed that in a little glamping spot outside of Wild Rose, which was a postcard cabins, I believe they're called.
Oh,
and they're all over the country. And just a little chance to get away and be quiet. And we did that leading yes. into Thanksgiving, which was fabulous.
Good for you. We haven't really spoken on the show since the last episode before the election, which is wonderful. One out of two made it. I have questions about, you know, because you spent your life campaigning for the last how many months? Mm-hmm. What happened in November? I mean, there was good, but overall, I mean, we were.
Yeah. It's interesting because on election night, I went to 4 watch parties.
Yeah.
And at the first 3, I was still very confident that we would have a blue wave across the board.
Yeah.
And by about 30 minutes into the 4th, I realized that something had gone horribly awry.
Yeah.
And it took some thinking about it. And I tried to think about what made me so excited and so positive and so enthusiastic leading into the election that I thought that it would be a blue wave, and then try to diagnose what I missed. Mm. And what I've come up with, I was always excited because if I knocked 75 doors, out of the 75 doors, I would probably get to talk to 12 people. And of the 12 people, there would be a strong, and these were all moderates. I did almost no strong Dem doors. They were always moderate, always in the moderate universe. And in 12 doors, I would probably run into 6 that were definitely blue. Definitely leaning blue, didn't like, they were the anti-Trump leaning blue. And then I would run into maybe 2 that were red. And then I would run into a handful that were truly rational people who were, once, you know, again, reducing stress, right? So I always wanted to make sure everybody knew that it was okay to say whatever they wanted to me.
Yeah.
Because if I was going to represent them, they needed to know that I was willing to listen without judgment. And so I was pretty good at reducing stress on a conversation, and they would start to tell me why they were confused on the top of the ticket. And we would walk through the conversation, and I would walk through about 5 points that collectively at the end, they would absolutely nod their head and say, yeah, absolutely. It makes sense. It was almost like they were Republican and they knew what they had to do, but they just had to do it. They had to vote for Kamala. And I would leave that day feeling pleased because overall that is definitely a blue feel.
Yeah.
What you forget to talk about is that you only got to talk to 12 out of 75 people.
Yeah.
And if every 12 had that ratio of people that were literally confused as to what to do, and they didn't get to have a conversation without stress, without judgment, without bias, and I truly mean that because I wanted to be able to have a good conversation with them, they didn't get to thoughtfully work through their questions with someone. And that tells us that there were a lot of people out there that were on the fence, confused, and in today's reality, in today's society, there aren't a lot of opportunities where you can just have a calm conversation.
Right.
They don't exist. Everything is loud. Everything is ultra-focused one side or the other. I always said I never intended to talk anybody into voting for me or anybody else, but I wanted to hear them no matter what. And they would learn from me that I was listening first and acknowledging. And that, in my opinion, is what's missing. There are a lot of pains out there. And if we ignored the fact that the pains existed, then we weren't doing our job. On the other side, in my opinion, the commercials, the never-ending ads, were poking what hurt.
Yeah.
So the easiest thing to do in politics is to poke what hurts.
Right.
But then the Republican side, in my opinion, never talked about trying to fix it. The Democrats talked about what they wanted to fix of the things they chose to focus on, but didn't really... We weren't successful in separating out the difference between the economy and inflation. We weren't successful in breaking the things apart. And oftentimes, I think the conversation went to, oh, no, it's not. The economy's great. Well, that's not effective. It's not effective to tell somebody the opposite. Instead, you have to be able to, again, reduce the stress and talk about, okay, let's talk about it. You know, how old are you? 62. Have you ever seen interest rates hold at 1.85% for more than ever? And they're like, oh, that never should have happened. I know. Right. Which is why we had to go to eventually a 7, because it never should have been at 1.85. If we would have done the proper thing back then, which was a Trump administration situation, if we would have adjusted the numbers back then, we wouldn't have gotten here. And that's a rational conversation that people, that anybody over age 40 knows that to be true. So there are ways that we can do it. I do believe that as a party, that our focus is on people. It must be people, which is not just the specialty groups. And I think that, again, I say this as a newcomer, you know, as a newcomer. But I think that when we are overly verbal on a few issues and we forget to talk about the rest of the people, we're making a mistake. We somehow, as a party, have to help people realize that if we reach out for labor, we are reaching out for working families. If we reach out for the environment, we are taking care of clean water and everyone, air for everyone. That is, those are all encompassing issues. If it's LGBT, it's because they are people that have a right to have a healthy lifestyle, right? So, again, I don't know all of the answers. I do know that I was caught unaware and perhaps in the bliss of hearing good information, and you just missed the fact that we weren't talking to everybody. So I guess my thought in the long run is we must reach more people in a stressless way, so that we can have conversations. Because I've had many conversations with party groups with a lot of very upset, sad, disenfranchised, angry, a lot of people. And my message is always, you cannot go through life assuming that anyone who didn't vote for our party is evil. They aren't. They aren't.
Right.
They are perhaps misinformed. Mm-hmm. They are perhaps ignorant on purpose or not. Mm-hmm. But there's a group of people, and we will never find success in helping them to realize the correct direction to go by screaming at them.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And we will not make progress by holding pitchforks.
No.
We instead have to, reduce the stress and have conversations again so people can rationally work through decisions that were made and then be able to work forward through that. That's my method. That's been successful for me for years. Again, let's talk through it. But you can't hold in your heart or in your mind or anywhere anger and hostility from this day forward. It isn't going to help. So process the emotions, accept them, they're there. I respect every emotion that everybody's feeling. And now let's come back down and say, what are the rational steps we can take to do a better job of helping people that are unaware become aware so that better decisions can be made in the future?
Do you think that, is that a difference of how we run the campaigns?
In some ways. Again, even at doors, asking instead of telling.
Yeah.
Asking instead of telling, let people work through what's on their mind and they will come down the path that they need to,
right,
as opposed to pushing them because, and you tell them that they're wrong.
Okay, that makes sense. Here we got State Senator-elect Chris Alfheim on the show. This is wonderful. We'll be right back here on The Rational Revolution.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to talk now. Hey, what's up? Rational Revolution. You got Mark Becker here and our dear friend, State Senator-elect Chris Alfine.
You thought I was going to bring us in?
Right. Next segment, we'll do that. I'm going to do that.
I can probably figure it out.
Hell yeah. All right. Sweet. So I think we were talking about what went wrong, and but I think there was a lot of things that went right. And I think that some of the things that went right was it was proven that the way to win for a Democrat is with a purple message that meets people where they are. I think, you know, we saw people like Rebecca Cook on the far side of the state way outperform where we thought she was going to perform.
Yeah.
You won. I think that that's kind of the ticket going forward. Because to be honest, you know, the Republican Party is the party of extremism.
Right.
And they've proven that time and time again. And I think if we're able to latch into that purple.
Yeah, I think that, again, as our... The side of right now, the side of right does not have to be perfect.
Right.
And I think that we run the risk in saying that in offending our strongest progressive members. And my message to that would be we always need all of those voices.
There's a place for
right?
that. Yeah.
It's kind of like my methodology in Madison. I was asked in my first campaign, in my second, will I ask for, you know, extreme change, whether it be climate or this and that? And the answer would be no, because there will always be those who will ask for the moon because that is their job.
Yep.
And then there's the reality of we do not always disagree in a state. We are a 50-50 state. So my job is to help the other side realize that by taking three or four of those steps forward, it's actually good for all of us.
Yeah.
Good for all of us means we can take steps towards the ultimate goal. But the idea of going from 0 to 100 in any issue is not possible.
Right.
It isn't on the right and it isn't on the left and it never has been.
It's not reasonable.
So right. I guess rational thought is what we're asking for across the board, and we can't control the Trump level Republican thought. We're not in charge of that.
Yeah.
But I would ask that on the Democratic side, and I think they're doing that. I think that the entire party is saying, okay, yes, we agree. Yes, we agree this is what we want, but here is where we are today, and how do we make progress forward? And the answer is to unite under the message of movement is the goal. Movement is the goal.
Yeah.
And I, again, that's hard because there's such great passion. Oh, goodness. There's such great passion for every issue. Every issue. And so as a Democratic Party, we have to realize that we must be a bigger party than we've been in the past because there are disillusioned Republicans. There are going to be Republicans. We know that, you know, and I fall under this category, you as well, for so many years, fiscally responsible or astute, in my opinion, and socially liberal. That is the category that most people identify themselves as. That is a very purple thing. So how can we be cognizant of budget? How can we be cognizant of economic situations and realistic situations in terms of our communities, as well as do the socially right thing to do at all times? Hmm. That's easier said than done.
Yeah.
But most people want to do that. So before we can have the moon, we have to at least start embracing those that are realizing that leaning one side is probably makes more sense. And I think that most people want to lean away from chaos. Mm. Chaos right now is coming from, in my opinion, the MAGA level Republican.
Correct.
Not the rational conservative, not the
no.
God bless them. I wish we could just bring back our rational Republican friends.
Rob Coles.
Yeah. Again, we didn't have to agree on everything, but the reality was their mission was not to undo. Their mission was to keep check. Mm-hmm. And that at its core is what the two-party system is about. It's about wanting to do what's right at all times and then being able to afford it. Those are rational concepts. Yeah. And working in balance in a 50-50 state, we should be able to
That's
do
healthy.
That. It is healthy. So, again, I certainly don't have all the answers. I think that it'll be as it has been. It's going to be entertainment and entertaining and disheartening and yeah. exciting and all of those things, depending on what, you know, side you're on. But I would just ask people desperately to stop picking sides and start picking philosophy and start picking message, because where they've been in the past or where their party has been in the past is not where they are today.
Right.
So where is the philosophy? Yeah. Can you find somebody that you can align with philosophically on more than one issue? And that's where we have to find a blend there somewhere.
All right. So I'm going to switch gears. This is absolutely for me. Because I've always, not always, but I've been interested in taking the leap that you did. And I've admired people that do. And so on November 5th, your life just went upside down.
It did.
It did. So I'm really interested, and I think this would be fascinating for the listeners too. How is this process of becoming from senator-elect to senator? What are you doing right now?
It's crazy, I got to tell you.
Yeah, I bet, yes.
So 2 years ago when I ran, I run a business, right? So I have to have some thought in terms of future schedules. And I did my best to plan through. And when you lose, the next day, the next 2 days are horrible. They're horrible because everyone calls you. Yeah. Everyone calls you. And again, every title of every person in the state of Wisconsin calls you and says, good job, good try, you're okay, we'll do it again next year. But you're reliving the pain. And if you're like me 2 years ago, I didn't know that I wasn't going to win. Right. I went into it with the expectation that I would. And it is tremendously disheartening after a very, very, very long couple months. So this time I knew, again, maps were a little bit in my favor. I knew that we had more energy and more momentum in the campaign. Yeah. And so I cautiously said, if I do, I need to have a little heads up on some calendar events, because I know there are things that happen and I don't want to be caught unaware. So I knew that if I did win, I would have a date in November that I would have to be in Madison. I knew there was a date in December that I have to be in Madison. And so I thought I was prepared. No, I wasn't.
And you get the handbook.
No, I wasn't. Right. Holy cow. So the first 2 days, like when you lose, your phone blows up. I could look at my phone and I would see Evers, Roy's, Underly, Wickler. Every name that you can imagine. And it is constant, which is beautiful.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
At the same time, it's almost instantaneous that emails start coming in.
Oh yeah.
Emails start coming in on from people, from organizations, and then the transition begins and you don't realize how quickly it happens. I got so many emails on, okay, committee selections are coming up. Oh, by the way, your budget request to the governor are due on November 22nd.
What?
And I said, my what? My who?
Right.
And by the way, during a campaign, you have a campaign manager. Yeah. So Kiara, who is mine, you know, she did a great job. And there's a lot of communication that takes place, a lot of behind the scenes. And Kiara helped me manage that as I'm knocking doors, talking to people, raising money and doing my real job. And when the campaign comes to an end, I don't know what the rules are. So we had to separate just in case. So
sure.
I didn't have help. So I was really...
I have no idea what to do.
And then there's just more. I mean, it continues. So I'm literally reaching out to the mayors, trying to figure out some ideas in our communities that I can put out to the governor. There's committees that I have to figure out, what do I want to be on and when. I have no idea when that calendar is going to happen. Everything. Stationery has to be picked out. It's so, so much. So you're the senator-elect means you're acting as if, and even though you don't have that position, you still are. So it's crazy.
Wow.
And then we have the transition coming up. So... unbelievable.
Wow. So, Senator Elect Chris Elfein, we're going to be back here. I got a big question for you on the other side.
So.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A senior Biden administration official telling ABC News there is a very good chance Syria could fall very soon. The front line is collapsing.
That official saying it could be as soon as tomorrow as rebels approach the capital, Damascus.
The question is, what happens next? We know that the Middle East is in turmoil right now. So if Bashar al-Assad falls, what happens next? And I think a lot of people will want to know the answer to that.
ABC's Lama Hassan in London. President-elect Donald Trump has weighed in, suggesting the United States should not get involved with the situation in Syria. In Paris, a heavenly choir filling the newly rebuilt Notre Dame Cathedral with music. A ceremony marking the cathedral's restoration, attended by dignitaries from around the world, including Mr. Trump and First Lady Jill Biden. The FBI joining the nationwide manhunt for the suspect behind the assassination of the UnitedHealthcare CEO. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks lose in Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks kept it close. The game featured 11 ties, 14 lead changes, but Boston pulled away and got the win, 111-105. Doc Rivers pretty much summed it all up.
I thought we played great basketball for 3.5 quarters, and then I thought in the fourth quarter, the last 7 minutes, we went away from our execution that we're doing all game. A lot of tough shots. So, good learner for us. You know, the one thing when you watch them, they don't do that. They resist. Even in their ISOs, when they're covered, they put the ball on the floor to make plays for each other. I didn't think we did that tonight.
The Bucks are now 0-9 when they play in Boston. Men's college basketball today, Marquette hosting Wisconsin this afternoon in Milwaukee. The women's college volleyball tournament, the Badgers and Golden Eagles, are in the Sweet 16, headed to the regionals next week. Last night, the Badgers beat number 7th-ranked Georgia Tech at the Fieldhouse in Madison 3-1. Marquette held out in a thriller over Utah 3-2. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy, breezy, a high near 39. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low near 30. Partly sunny for Sunday with a high near 39. For Monday, a few sprinkles with a high near 42. 31, the high on Tuesday with flurries. Wednesday's high, 22.
Currently, 42 degrees.
During the season of giving, the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection asks you to do your research before donating to avoid imposter scams and fake charities. Before giving to a charity, please research the organization at give.org and use verified information. Do not donate through unsolicited links, phone calls, or other messages sent to you. Make sure your contribution goes to the organization and cause you want to support, not a scammer. Learn more at datcp.wi.gov. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
Hi, it's Jim Schmidt and John Mino from Mino and the Mayor.
Join us live and on location Thursday morning, December 12th from 6 till 9 a.m. We'll broadcast from Simple Life Hospitality's Field of Dreams house across from Lambeau Field. We'll give you an inside look at this great party house at 1167 Shadow Lane.
Can't make it before 9 a.m.? Swing by their open house from 9 till noon. Take a tour. Learn how you can rent your home out for the draft and sign up for a Simple Life Hospitality gift card and other prizes.
You can also be the first to book the house for Green and Gold Bash or the draft before somebody else grabs it. See you there. Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversations in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.fm today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversations. Sign up today at WGBW.fm/newsletter.
Ho-ho, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win starting Monday morning. Ho-ho-ho!
Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show. It's Motown Monday. We'll catch up on the news from the weekend and talk about the politricksters of the day.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Sing every song that Javin knew. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. I mean, nothing, honey, if it ain't free.
We got the Rational Revolution. Enough of me.
I love that
Senator elect Chris Elf, I'm singing us into from break. I do have a big question I want to ask in a little bit, but I want to finish up that topic because you, I mean, you're running two households. Most people have an apartment down there. Is your wife going to go with you, or what?
No. I think again, I'm not going to do an apartment as of
you're
yet.
Not?
I think
okay.
The way it's going to look, I'll probably spend the first 6 months will be the busiest down there because you need to get your face and meet everyone. Yeah. Everybody needs an opportunity to meet you face to face. So I would say the first 6 months, plus it's the budget season. So now through the end of June, we'll be busy and I'll probably be down there, you know, potentially 2 to 3 days a week once we, you know, from January on. But I'm not going to do an apartment. I think it mathematically it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, it's tough, yeah.
But it is a challenge. And again, for me as a calendar person, you can time block. You know, again, my full-time job, my real business.
Are you going to keep that job? Are you going to still do?
Okay. I love what I do. I love my clients. I love, you know, it's puzzle building to me. So I enjoy what I do. It's successful. And I really do it in about, you know, 15 hours a week so I can control that calendar. So all along, I knew that I would be able to do both. It's just the transition that gets chunky.
Yeah.
Which is a lot, and I had to push a little bit to get caught up, but my clients love me. I love them. It's good for me to have something outside so I can juggle both at the same time.
That's awesome. All right. Here's this is a big question. It's radio appropriate. Yes. But it's a pretty deeply personal one.
Okay.
And I think that it's important. So follow with me as I go. I ask you this because of your grace and your personality to working with everybody and your ability to do that. And I really think we're going to need this over the next couple of years, at least. I was born a straight white male in America. Mm-hmm. I won life's lottery. I understand that. I've never once in my life been discriminated against ever, but my brother is gay. My wife is a black woman. I am a little more keenly aware than, some other people in our country that there is a problem. And the word colleague can mean some different things. In your insurance business, colleague would be your, you know, assistant or salespeople or whatever. But in the Senate, colleague, they're the people that occupy the halls of power with you. Mm-hmm. You know, and there are people, and this is my words, not yours. There are people in this that have shuffled around the state Senate that here's looking at you, Andre Jacques, that again, my words, but they represent very diverse people. And some of those colleagues have used the deepest part of your life, and not you personally, but, you know, and who you love, what your family looks like. They've used those things as a political football to be kicked around. Mm-hmm. And if some of your colleagues in the Senate would have said publicly what if they were colleagues in your insurance business, those people would be fired.
Right.
For discrimination, for bigotry, whatever. And now you sit amongst those colleagues and they say, let's work together.
Mm-hmm.
I would have the most difficult time not telling them where they can go, what they can eat, and who their mother is. How do you do that?
Well, again, different people process things differently, right? I am not someone that in my entire life that holds things in. It does me no good. I just don't. I think I remember teaching my 14-year-old at one point in time when something went wrong, you know, your answer is fix it or forget it. If you can't fix what was done, you just have to let it go because I don't have the capacity to hold in angst. And again, as an example, I reached out to my opponent the day before the election and said, hey, congratulations on running a hard race because it is hard. And only candidates will understand really how hard it is. I said, no matter what happens, I hope that we can meet for coffee. If you are lucky enough to win, I would love to be a resource to you. And if I am lucky enough to win, I really would like to hear what you have to say about healthcare because he's a physician. He's got things. He's got ideas. And I reached out that olive branch because that's what adults do.
Yeah.
Right? Now, that doesn't take away. People have a right to be offended. Mm-hmm. People have a right to be angry at the words, the thoughts, and the actions that have been taken by some. But in the end, what is my job? My job is to move forward and get it fixed. So you never get anything accomplished by holding in that angst. So I am just someone who's going to move forward. I am not a grudge holding kind of person. I am a defender of what's right, and I will do my very best to help educate through. Again, of all the time that I've spent in Madison and D.C., I don't believe there are many evil people in the world.
Right.
There's a couple. There's a couple, and we can't do anything about it.
Right.
But most people are just trying to do a good job in what they think is the right direction. My job is going to be to help them realize that they know a lot of people like me. Mm. There's an awful lot of people like me in their community, in their family. Yeah. In their entire lives. And what's interesting is they're probably very accepting of those people. They just don't realize, or they have not connected the dots on how action A affects those people. Mm. You know, again, it's a level of knowledge and understanding and compassion that I think the reason that we are feeling more people kind of lean blue in those suburbs is because there's more people like me stepping up.
Right.
There's more people out there that you realize that you have something in common with. That you have coworkers, you have people you've known for 30 years as good-hearted, solid individuals that make good choices in life and you want to be around. It doesn't really matter what the label is that follows them. They're humans.
Yeah.
Right? My job is to continue that teaching. Continue the teaching. I'm not going to go down there. Again, I'm not a pitchfork person. So I'm going to go down there as who I am.
Right.
Which is a very solid, competent individual who understands how to have a great conversation and have the ability to help people realize information they didn't have before and then take action on it. And if I'm lucky, if I'm successful, then I will open up some minds and hearts down there. And those that aren't willing to do that, well, that's on them.
I think it's so tough because people have come up to me since November 5th. And, you know, friends of mine have said, well, it's coming to the point where I just can't. And I try to impress upon them, like, but you have to. You have to because, you know, and my brother, God bless him, he Donald Trump used the LGBT community as a wedge issue to divide the country, to put him in power.
Yeah.
I understand where it's like, you don't want to talk to people about that.
Yeah.
But like, you're not going to change anyone's heart or mind or whatever by meeting them with a middle finger.
Right. Or stopping to talk to them.
Right.
Again, you can't, it is a difficult situation and there is no perfect, this is not the way that everybody needs to respond, right? This is just the way that I internally, emotionally, physically deal with things. I am not going to hold a grudge for the next conversation because in the end, my mission is the same. You know, be who I am, share that, and help people realize what they don't know. Or help people realize the impact of decisions that they've made that potentially were, they weren't on purpose. There's a lawful, I have a great, great conservative attorney that I work with. And I know that I am the, he wasn't in my district this year, but I am the only Democrat he has ever voted for in his entire life.
That's cool.
And we sat down after the election and he talked about immigration. And he's an attorney that works, you know, many times in the rural communities. And he referred to the fact that his candidate is literally running the risk of ruining the farmers because they're reliant so heavily on the immigrant workforce. Mm-hmm. And so those little things have an impact. He's putting two and two together, an effect on someone that's not him because of a decision he's made. He had many conversations with me about how his eyes have opened because of our relationship. He sees and feels things differently. So we impact people by being people. Mm. We impact human nature by showing human nature comes in a lot of different packages and a lot of different sizes. So I look at it as when I walk into a facility, I mean, if somebody knows, you know, who I am or who I'm married to, I'm going to be the absolute, you know, most professional, nicest, kindest, most humble person that you ever met who happens to be married to a woman. Right. And if that's going to put it over the edge for you, all right.
I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what to tell you, but, you know, this is what it is. So, again, there's no perfect answers here. But I think that holding rage inside is never healthy for an individual. I don't think it's healthy for our party.
No.
I think that we have to realize, and if we have to realize that there's a lot of good people out there that made a mistake.
Yeah.
And what a lot of those people don't realize is that we actually worked for them.
Yeah.
We will continue to, because the Democratic Party is for the people, even those that don't realize it. That is what we're doing. So we continue forward, you know, and we be who we are, and we set the standard that good people come in all kinds of sizes and packages,
right.
And we don't have to agree on everything, but good people are good people. And let's just keep moving forward in that direction.
Well, I think, you know, excuse me, as someone that was a political party guy, you know, the whole idea is to build a coalition. I do think that the Democratic Party has a golden opportunity in front of them over the next 2 to 4 years,
right,
to build an incredible coalition.
Right.
Because the guy that's in there right now is not going to do a lot of good things.
Right.
And how does it look as a state senator, you know, to get things done and to do?
Well, it's interesting. So again, as every day I learn more, I get more and more emails. My staff is now in place, which is exciting.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. So that's part of it too. I start getting, you know, 50 resumes because I have to hire 3 people. All went on in the first week and a half also.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's interesting is that the assumption would be now walking in, you know, first we assume that everything is bipartisan and fair in Madison. And yesterday I got an email that they announced what the Joint Finance Committee makeup was. So the majority gets to list, basically they come up with what the committees are and the numbers that will be in. So Joint Finance is the committee that literally holds the purse strings to the point where they've removed governor power.
Yeah.
So even after something's voted on, a bill, a law is passed, they still don't have to release money, which I find interesting. So yesterday I get an email. It's from Hasselbein, somebody, that says, here are the people that are on the committee. It's 12 to 4.
Yeah, right.
Really?
Yeah.
In an almost 50-50 Senate, you got what?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me. How can it be, or I can't remember what the number was, but it is gross, like supermajority Republicans and super minority Democrats on the Joint Finance Committee that controls all of the money beyond powers it's ever had in an almost 50-50 state. Now, to me, a rational person would think that's not right.
Right.
But those aren't the things that get talked about. They don't get talked about. So there's so much that I wish that people would take the step and get on a county board or get on a city council or get involved so that you start to feel the reality of the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. And once you've done that, I think you've earned the right to have deeper conversations out loud. Mm. And I think that everybody's verbiage would change a little bit if they realize the skewing that goes on inside of politics and how it's bad for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And when you change rules that benefit one side for 10 years, then all of a sudden you want to change that rule when somebody else gets control. And we're going to feel that. I assure you that's coming down the pipe.
I would have thought that they would have seen this coming and be like, hey, you know what? Maybe let's take the foot off the gas,
right?
A little bit.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because you have an ultra majority doesn't mean you should bulldoze what you want, because
right,
it will have a repercussion. And that is the case on both sides.
Right.
Again, rational thought, common sense, make forward progress the direction you want. But otherwise, if we do this pendulum swing, then nothing good comes from it.
Well, and it's going to swing the other way. You know,
it's about to swing.
And for the last 10 years, if you were a Democrat and wanted to pass a bill, you had to give up your first position on the bill you freaking wrote.
First, second, third,
right,
years goes by. Yeah. And yet all the other side claims bipartisan support. Well, come on.
Right.
Come on. You're only putting up your stuff. 97% of the bills that ever got a hearing came from the Republicans. They wouldn't,
right,
even listen. They wouldn't even let them have a conversation.
So what's going to happen? You know, you're there for a couple of years, 4 years.
Yeah.
Hey.
It'll be entertaining. The first two will be entertaining. The second two will be even more entertaining. And then we'll see what happens after that.
Right on. Well, and I hope that we're with you every step,
absolutely,
of the way, and getting some updates and everything.
Absolutely. Anytime.
State Senator like herself, I'm going to love you. Thank you so very much for your time.
Love you too.
Go get them.
Thanks. Bye.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Freezing your credit sounds drastic, but it's not. In fact, freezing your credit is one of the best ways you can protect yourself from identity theft. Freezing your credit doesn't stop your credit score from going up or down. It's just a way to make sure that nobody can open an account in your name, not even you, without removing your freeze first. So to freeze your credit, you just contact each of the three major credit bureaus and you request a credit freeze. Just search up the term credit freeze and you'll find the phone numbers and websites where you can get it all done. And don't worry, you can always unfreeze your credit when you need to apply for new credit, like a loan or something, by contacting each bureau again. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org or text money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh my gosh. Now I actually have to talk. You know, it's so easy to bring in Chris Alfheim because she's so full of good energy and so much brilliance. And now I have to do something. So it's, yeah, man. She, my eternal thanks to our dear friend Chris Alfheim for, you know, not only, you know, her friendship and her time here, but God, it feels so good to be able to celebrate something. And I'm so truly proud of her. I'm happy for her. And I think I'm happy for Wisconsin because we have someone who really cares, who's doing it the right way, doing it for the right reasons. And that's wonderful. I want to talk and talk about how that last segment about the idea of, you know, just not shying away. And we talk about it so often. And that's why I wanted to ask her that question of how do you go into those discussions? How do you face someone who, you know, uses who you are and who you love and as a political football, and how do you move forward? And I think she is going to be a real North Star in not just the state Senate, but I think in Wisconsin politics as a whole, of how do we move forward with this? Because we have to. I would love for her one day to be Governor Chris Alfheim, because good Lord, would we be in a great, now that's going to start. Oh, Chris Alfheim running for governor. No, that was me. But I really think she is someone who my kids can look at as an example of, boy, if I can be like that person, you know, life would be good. I'd be very proud as a dad. But I want to talk about Thanksgiving and a conversation I had during Thanksgiving. I had the opportunity to practice what I preach a little bit. And every, you know, I did the two don'ts of talking politics over Thanksgiving dinner. And I didn't think it was going to, I didn't think I was going to actually have to do it myself, but I did. And I hope you would all be proud of me, but because we were talking with my aunt, and this is not the crazy one. This is an aunt that I absolutely adore and love. And she's a wonderful person and her family are wonderful people. And like Chris said, not everybody who voted for Trump is a bad person. I would say I agree with her that most of the people that voted for Donald Trump are not bad people. They're just, We just got to talk to him in a better way. But there was a conversation where my aunt came up to me and said, "Hey, I want to talk to you." And I was like, "Oh shoot, here we go." now I got to do what I'm telling everybody else to do. And she said, "Well, in the summertime, you sent me a Snapchat, and we talked about this. There was an incident that happened during a parade that we were at, where." Someone came up to my daughter, and it was a child that was going to give her candy, and then the mom kind of shooed her away, and we don't give candy to those people. And then I was like, "What just happened?" And this person went to the next family, and there was another family of color, and they were shooed away from there too. And I was like, "That really sucks." And then I put on my Snapchat story. It was like there was a everybody loves the tractors. And it was old tractors, but then there was, of course, like three of them in a row that said "Farmers for Trump." Da, da, da. So I put, it said like farmers for felons or something along those lines. And my aunt commented back and she said, oh, well, you know, just because they voted that way, that doesn't mean that they're, you know, don't judge. And I sent her back something that was very emotional. It was a big, long thing about, you know, you don't understand. This is why I feel that way. This is why this is important and all of that. And she responded back and, you know, I love you, whatever. But during Thanksgiving, she said, I have this on my heart that I need to talk to you about. And we did. And it was constructive. And she said, you know, just because someone votes one way doesn't mean they're a bad person. And I said, I totally agree with you. I do agree with you. I said, but those people that are voting for that, I hope you understand the frustration and the hurt and the pain that we have on the other side of that. Because we talked about my wife, we talked about my children, we talked about my brother. Even though I was born straight, white, in America, and a man, even though I have never experienced discrimination in my family, or in myself, my family has. And so, even though as a Trump voter, you are not a bad person, what you did was you looked at all of those things that Trump stands for, and you said, I can overlook that. And I did use that description of, you know, I used to be a Republican. But if I would go into a room of Trump supporters, I would look to my right and I would see people that are, you know, white nationalists that want to discriminate against people like my wife. I would look to my left and I would see Moms for Liberty who are discriminating against people like my brother, taking books out of school and all of that stuff. And I said, you know, to my aunt, I said, if I'm in that room, I am not in the right room, right? I said, boil it all down. Take politics out of it. Take everything out of it. If you are in that room, you're not in the right one. And she kind of stopped and she said, well, I know what you're saying. And she said, well, we, you know, just agree to disagree. And I said, I will agree that I will love you. I will always love you. I won't agree to disagree because agreeing to disagree somehow means that I kind of agree that you're right in that instance and you're not. And I'm okay to have that discussion. And again, it seems like every week I kind of harp on this a little bit, but it's so important. And you heard Chris Elfheim talk about that, how it is important to have these discussions and don't have them with daggers. Have them in a place out of love. But that is how we can get back to what's important and we can get back to working together. Because I think that if we get to that point, there's so much more that we can all agree on than what we disagree on. And if we are the ones that are having that rational message and we are the ones pushing that message out, boy, we can be in a pretty darn good spot. And I think that there's a lot that we can celebrate about November 5th as we kind of get away from that. We can look back with a little more clarity on, hey, we had some good victories. Gall darn it. Chris Elfheim won. How about that? We can celebrate those things because those are all steps to a more perfect union. Thanks for listening to The Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday's show, we'll check in with Brittany Merlot for our first look at our week's weather. And Andy Parks with the Brown County Civic Music Association will tell us about their upcoming Christmas concert with Copper Street Brass Show.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Zommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge. What's your kink?
Snowman. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a